with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Marnie Roper. Many of us have been fortunate to attend a performance at the Sydney Opera House and enjoy one of the world's most stunning buildings. However, before 2000, this was almost impossible for people with disabilities. Now things are very different. The physical accessibility of the building has been vastly improved, and also performances and experiences are much more inclusive. All this has been possible because a specific role of accessibility manager was created. Jenny Spanak, who has been the accessibility manager since then, spoke to Barbara Sullivan about all these changes and how they were accomplished.
Hello, Jenny. Thanks so much for joining us today. The Opera House has an all-encompassing approach to accessibility, which I have to say is really setting the standard with accessibility in the arts. But we'll get to that a bit later. I'd just like to begin at the beginning. I understand you've been at the Opera House for about 10 years. Were you the first person appointed to this role?
Yes, I was. So my role, it was created back in 2006, and it was part of the Opera House's commitment to improving accessibility. Prior to that, there were people within the organisation who looked after access, but it was part of their wider duties. So there was no one actually dedicated to access. And I believe at the time when it was created, it was probably one of the first positions like that in a performing arts centre in Australia. I know since then there have been more of these positions have come up, but at the time it was, I think, quite a new type of role.
It's interesting because the Opera House in its original form, as we all know and love it, seems to have been a rather inaccessible building. In your memory, what was the first accessibility initiative that was undertaken at the Opera House and when was it?
Before I came on, I think around 1995, the Opera House commissioned some access audits. I think from 1995 to 2000, there was a series of audits, and I think that coincided with, at the time, the Olympics in Sydney, and there was Paralympics, and there was, an Olympic Arts Festival at the Opera House. So around that time when they started doing audits, they started putting in things like the shuttle bus service that took people from Circular Quay to the Opera House, and they upgraded some of the accessible toilets. At that time, around the time of the Olympics, they started introducing audio description with the Sydney Theatre, and they put infrared and hearing loop systems in the main halls, and they were probably the first access improvements. And then when I came on board in 2006, it was around the time that we got major funding to put in the first public lift. When I came on board, that was the first major access upgrade.
So it was really the Olympics that prompted the organisation to embrace accessibility, and at that point they then submitted a grant, and that got your position funded as well as some of these major undertakings.
So I wasn't here at the time, but I do believe the Olympics was the main impetus. And if you think about it, the Disability Discrimination Act, that was only, I think, came around in 1992. And prior to that, when the Opera House was built, of course, access wasn't factored in like we do today with access. There weren't any credible building standards to tell you how to build accessibly. There wasn't the Discrimination Act. There wasn't the kind of same community expectations. So a lot of the lifts that did exist were back of house, and that was considered acceptable, and people who came in wheelchairs had to press what we called a little button and go through the green mile, which was like through the bowels of the Opera House, to get up to the main box office level, these back of house good lifts.
Well, it was funny because Marnie Roper was actually telling me the story about that. Her daughter was at her graduation and had a bung leg at the time and was led through that way into the building.
It was not a great way, although some people did like seeing the kind of back of house and what went on. But I think for a long time, the kind of beauty and the creative genius of the place was lost to people with disabilities coming, because they had to go in this back of house way, so they couldn't appreciate that and have access to it.
Well, one of the things that seems to have been very successful is the way that you have established these 3-year strategic plans. So you started on that presumably in 2006 when you came in. Talk us through those a little bit.
The first strategic plan that was in 2009, that coincided with getting the funding and installing the first public lift, and that had the capacity for 4 wheelchairs, and that took people from the lower concourse level up to the ground level and up to the box office level. The focus of that first plan was really on doing as much as we could with the funding we had to make more of the Opera House accessible for people with disabilities on a kind of physical level. And that also included 2 new escalators installed in the stairs at the box office level to the southern foyer of the concert hall and the mm-hmm. Jones Sutherland Theatre. It also included new accessible toilets in the western foyers, and it included lift access up to the Playhouse venue and more wheelchair seating in the western theatres. That took independent undercover access to more of the building. I wouldn't say the majority of the building, but a lot more of the building was accessible. The second 3-year plan looked at installing a range of the accessible companion seating and policies around that, and also doing things like audio description, captioning, installing captioning system in the theatres, and really looked at making the experiences more accessible. At the Opera House, Touch Tools audio description, as I said, dedicated autism-friendly performances. So the first one looked at the physical building. The second plan looked very much at the experiences. And the third access strategic plan looked at taking the programming to another level and doing things like the bespoke sensory performances of Odyssey, which is designed specifically for children with disabilities. And also it expanded the access program, I guess, to look at access barriers around economic social disadvantage, offering $5 ticket program through the Foundation Open House program. And that also looked at the next stage of accessible building upgrades. So we completed the accessibility master plan as well as part of the last 3-year plan.
What a huge number of achievements. So the range of services, you do the Auslan interpreting, you've got the hearing loops. Could you talk about the different services that you offer there, such as that?
So I guess in the range of patron services, we offer courtesy wheelchairs for when people arrive on site. We have captioning system installed in the drama theatre, and we're looking at expanding that to the Playhouse as well, so people can have live captions when they come and see a show. And we have audio description, so when people come to a performance, they can have somebody describing what's going on, all of the visual elements of a performance. And we've actually trained some of our staff who have other jobs here during the day. We've trained them through Vision Australia to be audio describers. So we have them here on staff. And we do things like Auslan interpreted performances as well. So we do also Auslan interpreted tours. If people come and do a tour, they can do one of those as well.
And there are a couple of things that might be considered quite minor, but which are actually quite major. Somebody was telling me about a venue step count and a map, a mobility map.
So I should also mention we've also got hearing loops in all the venues as well.
Right.
We've got an FM hearing loop system. Part of our access guide, we have a step map because people, I think, just assume that the building's accessible on the main hall on the second level, but they're not. That's something we are looking to upgrade in future building works. But I think people just came and didn't realise how many steps are involved. So
yes,
you can go online, get this brochure, and look at how many steps are involved in going to any of those. Actually, any theatre, you can have a step count. So you can choose a seat and know exactly how many steps you're going to need to negotiate to get to that seat.
So the best way of finding out about all of these services is to go online?
That's right, is to go on our website and go to the accessibility section on the website, and you'll see the guides, you'll see all the accessible performances and the access programs that we run as well.
So when people are entering the theatre, do you have staff members that help them to their seats, or are you assuming that they would have a companion with them?
Yes, unfortunately the front of house staff can't leave their posts. We've got them at certain posts that they have to stay to, but they're definitely there to greet people when they come, to offer them if they need one of our courtesy wheelchairs, to tell them which route to take, to offer any assistance in that kind of nature. And of course we've got the ushers at the door, and I think one of the things that we get complimented on a lot, which I see is a big asset when it comes to access, is our customer service and how our staff are there so willing to help people and assist people.
talking of staff members, do you have an accessibility team or do you outsource such services as audio description?
Well, with audio description, now it's great that we have a couple of people on staff who do the audio description, which is really good. So now we've gone into doing audio descriptions for things like our lighting of the sails. As part of Vivid, they do the lighting projection on the sails.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a free audio describe tool so people can start a couple of years ago, but for the first time, come and listen to the lighting projections and the themes be described so they can come with a companion and they can both tune in and listen. In terms of the Auslan interpreting, we use a company that does theatre interpreting, who are fantastic. So for things like that, we'll go out and captioning, we use external companies as well. But we work very closely with them and we've been using them for many years. We make sure that it's very good quality.
And recently you did, for the first time, a performance of The Messiah, I understand.
Yeah, so that was a collaboration with Accessible Arts and Sydney Philharmonia Choirs. They worked with the choirs and with Alex Jones, and they did an Auslan performance of Messiah, and it was great to be able to live stream that. That was from the Opera House live stream from the concert hall, and as part of that live stream we were able to caption it, so live caption, and also audio describe, so set the scene for people who were listening to the live stream from home.
Now, you're about to launch your next 3-year strategic plan. Can you outline the accessibility vision for 2018?
Well, I guess in terms of the vision, we still acknowledge that although we've come very far, there are still barriers that exist to full inclusion at the Opera House. And we consulted quite broadly with a range of different disability representatives. And I think the next plan is about really trying to go that extra way to make us even more accessible and more inclusive. And it's a really interesting time because of our access program we launch every year. We've got many, many more people coming with disabilities to the Opera House.
Mm.
So we want to make sure that we've got physically, operationally, program-wise, we have a very accessible environment for people to start coming to more of these events. So if I can talk about the different areas of the plan, we look at the focus areas being the building, so making sure that the Opera House is accessible building and site. And in the next 3 years, we're looking to implement the next phase of accessibility improvement. We just finished an accessibility master plan, and as part of the new Stage 1 renewal projects, we'll be looking at upgrades for the concert hall and various different spaces on site, theatres, function centres. So we'll look at doing the next phase of making the areas that aren't accessible now more accessible. And then we also focus on performances experiences and really looking at ways that we can make more of our experiences like festivals experience autism friendly, continue to scope out things like our sensory theatre experiences for people, increase the number of captioning, audio described, sign language performances we do, and expand the access program to more art forms. For example, this year we're looking at dance and working with the Australian Ballet and their inclusive workshops, and also working with Dancing for Parkinson's Disease and them coming on site and really expanding access for all the sort of health and wellbeing benefits that will bring by participating in the arts, and also looking at making the workplace, which is another focus of the strategy, more accessible and putting in an internship program opportunity for a young person with a disability, as well as creating job opportunities for people with intellectual disabilities through supported employment, and also looking at upgrading more of the operations customer service side in terms of wayfinding, making it easier for people to find their way on site, and also looking at things like we've gotten more people with disabilities coming that we're trying to encourage to come. We need things like adult change tables in the bathroom. We need quiet, chill-out areas for more schools to come if they're coming to see an autism-friendly performance or a sensory performance. And also that's about making our website AAA compliant. It's about giving people more information, looking at an app to provide wayfinding information
to
visitors on site, and then looking at also our other focus areas around community leadership and looking at how we can perhaps more advocate for arts and for disability access within the arts industry.
Jenny, that is very, very exciting and very exhausting, I might add, listening to. You have really accomplished a tremendous amount, and it's exciting. We always knew that the Opera House was a step ahead of everyone else, and now we know.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next programme.